844-1777 is our local number. Toll free, 877-291-8255. Go to the phone. Let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning to Dr. Alan Betts. Alan works with a group called Atmospheric Research. He's down in Pittsford and right here in good old Vermont. Alan has mega degrees here, a master's in natural sciences and a PhD in meteorology. And he's joined us previously on the program to talk about global warming and climate change. Alan, thanks for joining us. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, Mark. How are you?
I'm great. This agreement between the United States and China, the United States is going to agree to cut some emissions here. The Chinese have agreed in the future to cap their peak out their emissions. Is it, I guess, is it too little, too late?
Well, it's very significant in the sense that we've been waiting for some kind of agreement between the U.S. and China to move forward on capping our emissions. Sure, it would be much better if we'd reached agreement 10 years ago, but if you have the context here is that the last 15 years, the rapid industrialization of China with a large basis on coal has been driving atmospheric emissions of carbon dioxide up steeply. And until that comes under some kind of control, we're in a difficult situation globally. And this is an offer, a deal essentially, that if the U.S. continues to cut, and we have been on a declining path because of a shift away from primary coal, China is in agreement. But the big context, of course, here is China has enormous pollution problems. So they've realized not only they have to move away from coal and polluting industries as or their health problems become catastrophic. At the same time, their agricultural and water issues are becoming very severe. And I'm sure all their scientists are telling them we have to bring climate change under control.
Mm-hmm. When you hear, though, that China is going to set a target for emissions to peak by 2030, what's your reaction to that? Do you kind of just go, oh, or what's your reaction?
Well, they've been growing at something like 10% per year for the last 15 years. And that's a huge, huge increase in that time period. For them to turn that curve over by 2030, earlier I think they said if possible, and then shift downwards, we have to do that. So I'm glad.
But if they say 2030, I mean, what really is there to make that happen? You're saying it sounds more like the pressure from within is going to drive it.
The pressure from within, of course, is going to drive it, yes. I mean, there, I don't think we have the same schism that we have in the United States between the scientific advice and the central government. It's more an issue of how can they shift their rapid industrialization to renewable energy economy. And their renewable energy economy is growing at least as fast as ours. On a grand scale. So they do have all the technological capability to make that transition.
How much have we declined?
I don't know the number. What was said in the press releases yesterday is that the U.S. is on target to reduce its emissions by 17%, I think from 2005, by 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And the new target that they put forward was 26% by 2025.
Mm-hmm.
What isn't in any of these agreements is a detailed discussion of how they're actually going to do it. I mean, on our side, if we were to introduce a carbon tax or a carbon fee, the economic studies, and I'm not an economist, remember, I can only take them on trust, those show that we could easily achieve that 26% reduction if we were to tax fossil carbon.
Mm-hmm. It sounds to me from what you're saying, though, that the real significance is that there's even an agreement.
Well, there is, because everyone in the... These are the two major polluters, the two major emissions of greenhouse gases from burning fossil fuels. And the rest of the world essentially has been looking to them, because I think we now have a majority of the nations in the world who would like to see a carbon tax, who would like to see a stabilize the climate system, but they know they can't do anything until the U.S. and China reach some agreement.
Mm-hmm. Does this make any difference? Does it enhance the prospects? I guess it can't hurt the prospects in Paris, but does it really realistically enhance the prospects of a deal next year?
Well, I think that's the context that the U.S. and the China has been negotiating. They've realized in the last few years that this is that getting a global agreement without putting some of these bits and pieces together bilaterally, and particularly the U.S. and China, I don't know what kind of global deal is likely to emerge from that, but I think it's going to be basically lots of individual commitments and probably some pressure on the U.S. and China to stick to what they're doing in the global context.
Mm-hmm. You said the American goal of the 27-28% is achievable. Is there a number, a reduction that's achievable by the Chinese that's realistic?
Well, I don't think I can give an answer to that question. What I see here is that shifting them from rapid growth to stabilization, that shift in their economy will then inevitably lead to a decline. And 2030 may seem a bit far out there, but if most of these targets, I think if we were to get serious about rebuilding our energy economy, we could all accelerate them. Mm-hmm. So what I see is that if we were to get a global agreement, China would find that it could move through that transition perhaps by 2025 instead of 2030.
Right, right. No, you're right. I mean, they did say they could try to do it earlier if possible.
The context here, I mean, the broader context historically has been that the industrializing nations said correctly that we have put most of the CO2, that's Europe, Japan and the United States, into the atmosphere. We're approaching limits on what is safe for the climate system, and we put most of it in, and they're still entitled to a share to industrialize. And what we really need here is that all the nations to pool their resources on accelerating the transition to renewable energy in terms of technology and spreading it around the rest of the world, because the many, many nations, we could easily now supply electricity by photovoltaics without any greenhouse gases.
But you're making the argument this morning that the Chinese government is changing from that we have a right to pollute to that we're worried about our own internal problem here.
And the climate system globally. I mean, they're no fools. They can see what's happening to the climate system and its impact on agriculture and water resources in China.
Mm-hmm. Last question. Let me ask you the same question I started with, though. I mean, is this too late?
Well, there's no too late in this, because the climate system is certainly on a roll, yes. But if we don't rein it in, then things will just get worse. So there's no too late in this game.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of one of those things, if we do it through our own volition and our own deliberate actions, we will benefit downstream this century.
Was there anything else? You mentioned something missing. Was there anything else in this agreement that was really missing?
Well, it's...
Maybe India?
Well, India is not involved. This is a bilateral agreement.
Yeah.
But India also is looking to the U.S. and China here, and India, too, can different system. China has more, in a sense, more control, potentially, of its larger economic system because of still having a centralized government. India's government is much weaker in terms of its ability to actually impact what happens in its society.
Would you put the United States somewhere in between those two?
Well,
I guess there's a pretty big area, isn't there?
Well, we're in a different situation at the moment. We're completely paralyzed politically, and I saw the Republicans were furious that Obama made these commitments because the problem here politically is that a scientific assessment of what is going to happen to our climate system is not accepted by one of the political parties. And the climate system isn't listening to the Republican Party on this. And most of the studies I've seen show that we will benefit economically and be more productive in terms of employment if we shift to a renewable economy.
Oh, you're right. The reaction of the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell,
right,
incoming one, this unrealistic plan that the president would dump on his successor would ensure higher utility rates and far fewer jobs.
Well, just look at that. What GMP, look at the transition that's going on in Vermont. Has it increased our utility rates? No. GMP is actually reducing utility rates this fall, whereas the other utilities in New England are not. So, I mean, there's a case study here in Vermont that the shift to a more efficient system is not increasing our utility rates. And as I said, economically, that if we were to put a fee on fossil carbon and refund it in that fee and dividend scheme that I think we talked about last time, the studies show that would produce a couple of million jobs.
Thank you for your time this morning. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure, Mark.
Dr. Alan Betts is with Atmospheric Research in Pittsburgh. He is a climate scientist. We'll take your calls the rest of the way this morning. Actually, we'll dip into the mailbag, too. Love to hear from you at 244-1777, our local number. Toll-free 877-291-8255. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll talk with Lawrence Miller, who's in charge of healthcare reform, charge of trying to get the website back up and running. We'll find out what's going on with that. Should be an announcement actually going to be made today on it. I don't know what the announcement will be. And also coming up on the program tomorrow, we're going to talk with author John Meacham, who's a really just an incredibly profound guy. So we'll talk with him tomorrow. Friday on the program, we'll talk with Chittenden County Prosecutor T.J. Donovan, and Governor Shumlin joins us in hour number two on Friday. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Roger Williams from 802 Toyota. November always brings Black Friday sales at the end of the month. Here at 802 Toyota, it's Black Friday all month long. Every car, truck, and SUV will be on sale. Lease a new 2015 Corolla for only $139 per month. Or the all-new 2015 Camry for only $189 per month. We have a great selection of pre-owned certified Toyotas with financing as low as 1.9%. Join us for a month of huge savings and help us support this year's Stuff a Truck Food Drive with a donation of non-perishable food items to help feed the hungry in central Vermont. You'll find our friendly, no-pressure staff eager to help whether you're buying a new vehicle or just want to drop off a donation for the food drive. We're easy to find. Just click on 802toyota.com, call 802-224-6000, or drive to exit 7 off I-89. We're just minutes off the interstate. 802 Toyota, driving to be Vermont's number one Toyota dealer.
See dealer for complete lease and finance details.
Capital Ground.
Did you remember the coffee?
Capital Ground.
You didn't?
Capital Ground.
Don't let this happen to you. There wouldn't be anything better than getting coffee in the mail. Our coffee is so special that we've rolled out a new subscription program. Each month, new package arrives. Coffees from around the world. You don't even have to think about it. And it's great for that person or friend or relative living out of town. We've heard from people around the world that tell us that Capital Grounds coffee is the best thing they've ever had, so we wanted to make it convenient. You can check it out at CapitalGrounds.com. Coffee, we know it, we love it. Since 1998, Capital Grounds Roasters has delivered the best coffee to Central Vermont. Available at Capital Grounds Cafe on State Street in Montpelier.
Capital Grounds.
Check out our new subscription program, CapitalGrounds.com.
Looking for a loan for your Vermont business, childcare, or nonprofit organization? Look at the Vermont Community Loan Fund. Because at the Vermont Community Loan Fund, we lend to Vermont businesses and nonprofits, even if the bank says you're not quite ready for a loan. At the Vermont Community Loan Fund, we focus on people, not profits. We'll work closely with you before and after you get your loan to make sure you get what you need to succeed. The Vermont Community Loan Fund makes loans to early stage companies and established businesses ready to take the next step. We lend to farms and food producers, high-tech businesses, manufacturers, retailers, childcare businesses, affordable housing developers, service providers, and other nonprofit organizations. We make loans to Vermonters doing business right here at home and around the world. So if you're looking for financing to help your growing business, look at the Vermont Community Loan Fund. Visit us online at investinvermont.org. That's investinvermont.org.
802 Honda promised super friendly service with low pricing, and you heard us. Thanks to all of our customers for making 802 Honda the fastest growing Honda dealer in Vermont.
At 802 Honda, we love to listen. Our Lease It Your Way program is designed to customize a lease for both your budget and driving needs.
You can drive away every new Honda with absolutely no money down, or pick your payment, and we will show exactly how much money down you need. The biggest myth about leasing is mileage. We're custom designing leases for higher higher mileage drivers all the time, often with 20,000 miles or more. Let us custom tailor a lease your way.
Find out what many of your neighbors already know. 802 Honda is the only place to get your next Honda. We also have the top-ranked service department in Vermont.
Click on 802honda.com. Call 223-9700. Drive I-89 to exit 7. We're less than 1 minute off the interstate. 802 Honda, driving to be Vermont's number one Honda dealer.
Two 244-1777, our local number, toll-free 877-291-8255. Looking for a nice place to go for lunch today? Why not go on down and see our friends at Red Hen Cafe and Bakery right off of Interstate 89, exit 9 in Middlesex. Now in, they're calling it now the middle ground down there. A lot of nice renovations going on with the fine folks over at Nutty Staffs, our friends at Red Hen, and also the other stores that are right down there, too. Nice renovations and really sprucing the place up. It was looking pretty good anyway, but looks even better now. If you're looking for a great sandwich for lunch today, they have those at Red Hen Cafe and Bakery. Get one of their signature sandwiches made right there. You're looking for a grilled cheese. You have not had a grilled cheese until you've had one of the Red Hen Cafe and Bakery grilled cheeses. That will top your lifetime list. Then you can move into dessert. That's really what it's all about, isn't it? They have great desserts there. You can pick up some items to bring home with you, too. They have this specialty ice cream that's pretty darn good that once you try that, will be hard to go back to some of the other plainer brands. So, and you can also pick up a couple of bottles of wine while you're there. Nice collection of Vermont beer. And free Wi-Fi while you're hanging out there. Also, of course, coffee and Danish and croissants and all sorts of other great tasty treats that you could start each and every day at Red Hen Cafe and Bakery right off of Interstate 89, exit 9 in Middlesex. All right, well, on the governor's race, latest is the couple of published reports indicating Scott Milne will not ask for a recount. He has until 5 o'clock today. So I guess we'll wait until 5 o'clock today to find out. He's getting some advice against doing that from people, including former Governor Jim Douglas. And as he said, you know, it's a pretty wide difference here, 2,400 votes. You know, the other thing that strikes me about this is how if he were to ask for a recount, it would seem to me at least, and I've been wrong on an occasion or two, but it would seem as though that might undercut his argument that it doesn't really, that the difference between them is so insignificant that taking it to the legislature is really where this is ultimately going to be decided. I mean, what's the point of asking for a recount that might even put you, best case scenario, what, a couple of hundred votes ahead? Would you then turn around and say to Peter Shumlin that you should be supporting me as the top person if you're not willing to say that today? I don't know. So it seems as though that might be a counterproductive argument. I guess the next question really becomes on, will, you know, Scott Milne aggressively take this case to the Vermont legislature, or will he sometime between now and then encourage lawmakers, as some politicians have done in the past, to vote for the top vote-getter? And one of the things that he said on to me and to you on Monday is that he's looking to hear from people about what he should do. So I'm happy to take your calls and get some input here on where, what direction you think he should go. Should he continue to pursue this into January, make his case to the legislature, or even just maybe do nothing is another option and just leave it to lawmakers, you know, do kind of a passive thing here? Or do you... call it quits? Again, going back to former Governor Douglas, quoted on VPR as saying that he would recommend that Scott Milne not take this to the legislature. The difference in the votes right now, 2434, so 2,434 votes. 244-1777 is our local number, toll-free 877-291-8255. As you heard him mention Monday, too, when I asked him when he was going to make a decision on this, on what approach to take with the Vermont legislature, he said he expected to make a decision relatively soon, is what I remember him saying. All right. Let me actually, we're going to go into the mailbag here. A couple of interesting items in mail today. And one of them deals with the election. Let me share that one with you. And then we have one that relates to our canine friends here. This was an anonymous letter I got. It came from Burlington somewhere. At least the postmark was from Burlington. November 5th, 2014. Dear Mark, listen to your program frequently and enjoy it. I don't think "quote unquote" missing by a couple of percentage points is a failure on either your part or Eric Davis's part. Eric had predicted Shumlin might not get over 50%, and that Milne might get 42%. That's pretty good prognosticating from my point of view, and I've been following politics and elections for 40 or more years. Eric is a political scientist, and he uses the tools of political science to make his case. He's generally accurate and always unbiased. The fact that he doesn't, quote, listen, unquote, to these supposed constituencies your callers refer to doesn't make his work suspect. He's a good political scientist. The fact that you don't hear from these constituency is not a failing of you or Eric. There are very few individuals who will call and discuss some of their darkest fears and prejudices, which unfortunately is what drives many individuals when they cast ballots. I also can't imagine, the writer says, callers identifying themselves and discussing Governor Shumlin's perceived moral failings, which I believe, the writer says, was a large factor in this election. It may well be that this election is more about a vote against Shumlin than for Milne. Parenthetically, I think Scott Milne even acknowledged that to some degree on Monday as well. The writer goes on to say this, which I thought was an interesting comment and was one I was going to bring up with Victoria, but we kind of ran out of time with her, and I will loop back and do that on another day. But here's what the writer said. Sometime in the future, I would love it if you could do a show on this topic. Why, when people are more dependent on government than ever, do they hate it more? All of us are so anxious to show the government doesn't do anything for us while doing too much for everyone else, whoever they are. From mortgage deductions to small business write-offs to Medicaid to food stamps to roads, etc., we all receive many benefits from the governments that we so love to hate. Furthermore, when something bad happens to individuals, the first cry is for the government to step in and help. The recent story about the gentleman who got shorted on his cords of wood is a prime example of the above. Keep up the good work. No signature on it. Let's go to Morrisville. Susan, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I just have basic couple comments on this as far as going for a recount. And it just seems like a bunch of little kids that haven't gotten their way are poor losers. If you're playing any other game, be it cards, old-time marbles, cribbage, whatever, if you win by 1 point, you win. It's like, let it go. The people have spoken. It's like, granted, there was an independent, and some of the votes went that way. But even according to him, bits and pieces that I've heard, he said he didn't really feel that it would have made that significant a difference if he hadn't participated and been on the ballot. So It's like, just let it go. And if it's going to cost, if there's going to be something in cost incurred for a recount, then the person who wants it, that's who the one that should be paying for it. It shouldn't be something that's set out there for the public to handle at their own. Well, so I'm going to let it go at that and get back to listening to you on the radio.
But let me ask you this. The rules allow, if it's 2% or less, I mean, he's got every right to, under the statutes, to ask for this.
I understand that, but it just seems, I mean, in general, it just seems like, like children playing at this point. I mean, they're supposed to be adults, they're supposed to set, principles for children. And here you have people that are just saying, well, granted the state law states if it's under a certain percentage, then yes, they can do this. But it's, let it go. Let it go into January. Let the bickering stop. Put the state back to being, we're supposed to be a united state. So we're not supposed to be the red and the blue. It's time to be purple and work together, be combined, work together for the good of the country, of the state, and set some good examples for the kids. I mean, right now it just looks like people are bickering over, foolish little things. It's time to work together.
You mentioned that on the recount. Do you feel the same way about trying to take a case here if you're Scott Mellon to the legislature?
My feeling on it is the people have spoken, and I am not one political party or another. I have voted both Republican and Democrat in the past. This year, in all honesty, my votes were split because I feel it's the person that should be voted for, not the party. And, you know, again, if he wants to do it, fine. But it's like I said, at this point, it seems like somebody that's, you know, just a sore loser. And if it gets to, you know, when they go for the vote in January, whatever they decide at that point, then we have to live with it. But in between time, it's like we've had the politics going on for how many months now? It's like, drop it. There are so many other things that need to be concerned about in the state and country.
Thanks for your call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
244-1777 is our local number. Toll free 877-291-8255. I want to take a moment to remind you about our good friend Mike Roussel at the Tailor Shop in Stowe's Lower Village. And an expert tailor, more than 50 years of experience, really just does terrific work. He's done a couple of projects for me and done outstanding. And he'll do the same level of work for you and everyone else that raves about him. He's one of these people as a one degree separation. If you don't know Mike, I'm betting one of your friends knows Mike. He's that well known. And he's open on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And he opens his doors at 10 a.m. So he's right there ready for you to put your items on that list and pile that he has of clothes that need to get attended to. And I know we're getting into a little cooler weather here. You may be dragging out your winter clothing, finally. Yeah. So if you have items that don't fit quite the way they did last winter, how did that happen? Bring them on up to Mike Roussel at the Tailor Shop in Stowe's Lower Village. And he's on the right-hand side of Route 100. Very easy to find as you head up there to the village. See the Shell station there, and he is the next driveway on the right-hand side of the road there. 244-1777 is our local number in Central Vermont. Toll-free 877-291-8255. Quick break. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Hi, everybody. Coming to you from Poulin Auto Sales and Service, the largest previously owned vehicle dealer in Vermont. If you haven't shopped Poulin lately, you just haven't shopped Poulin. We've got over 300 vehicles to choose from, and no matter where you're coming from, we're close by in either Barrie or South Burlington. Warranty on a previously owned vehicle? Yup, 3-year, 100,000-mile warranty to be exact. 0% financing? Oh yeah, we got it. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it right. 0% financing on your next previously owned vehicle. And have you been in to see our service guys lately? They're working on vehicles from Kias to luxury vehicles. Whether you bought it at Poulin or not, you're going to get the lowest labor rates in town. Come on by and see us, and we'll be more than happy to get you into that new ride on East Barrie Road in Barrie or Shelburne Road in South Burlington. And we're always open at PoulinAutoSales.com or PoulinVT.com. Poulin Auto Sales and Service, changing the way you feel about buying a vehicle.
Looking to buy a car, motorcycle, or boat? Maybe you'd like to refinance your existing vehicle. Granite Hills Credit Union can help with a great fixed rate of 2.49% for 60 months for a new or used vehicle. We've got money to lend right now at this unbelievable low rate. Not a member of Granite Hills? Not a problem. We're open to anyone who lives or works in Washington or Orange counties. Act now before our loan special is gone. This low rate of 2.49% for a car, motorcycle, or boat won't last forever. And remember, we can help you refinance your existing vehicle, too. Apply online at granitehills.org or call today to take advantage of low loan rates from Granite Hills, your hometown credit union.
At Granite Hills Credit Union, the difference is you.
Granite Hills Credit Union is an equal housing lender and is federally insured by the NCUA.
G-Stone Motors website ad, take one.
Hey, I'm Travis Romano from G-Stone Motors in Middlebury. We'd like to invite everyone to check out our web...
Hey, Travis, I just got a text message from my daughter.
Yeah, I heard.
What does TTYL mean?
Oh, are you still trying to figure out that phone? It means talk to you later, as in after we finish this ad.
How do you know all this stuff?
Did you download our new web app yet?
Web app? I mean, I can see the whole inventory from this phone?
Yeah, you can see our entire inventory right on your cell phone. Cool.
Did you know I could play Angry Birds on my phone?
Oh, never mind.
G-Stone Motors website ad, tank two.
Hey, I'm Travis Romano from G-Stone Motors in Middle.
Excuse me, Travis, do you know what WTAIT means?
No, but I know what WTF means. What is it this time?
We'll take anything in trade. How's that?
All right, give me the tag.
G-Stone Motors, your hometown Ford and GMC dealer where they take anything in trade. Route 7 in Middlebury or online at gstonemotors.com.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test. This has been a weekly test of the emergency alert system. In the event of an actual emergency, we would have given you further information and news. This has been a test of the emergency alert system on the stations Radio Vermont, WDEV, FM, and AM, serving Washington, Lamoille, and Caledonia counties.
All right, before we get back to our calls here, I just want to share with you a couple of paragraphs. I got the just the nicest letter from one of the sweetest people on the planet, Marcia in Barrie, who calls the program here on occasion. Just a real nice lady who sent me this really just beautiful letter after our dog was put down. And she was sharing with me some of her stories about her dogs. And I just want to share with you just one part of this letter that she sent me. And again, God bless you, Marcia. She was talking about her last dog, Michaela, who lived to 14 and a half, had many ailments, as dogs and people that lived at that age do. But she went on to talk a little bit about Michaela, because we had this program that was very profound with the guy who talked about how he thought animals have souls. And Marcia agrees, too. He said, one more thing on dogs and souls. I believe Michaela was a, and Marcia, don't get mad at me if I mispronounce this, but it's Bodhisattva, which is a Buddhist saint. Bodhisattva. I wouldn't butcher that too much. She goes on to say, in Buddhism, someone who is enlightened and attains nirvana can choose at death to return to earth in the form of an animal or human, to ease suffering and help humanity. Michaela was that special, like Ken's Buster. Among other things, after I had saved her life, after she got hit by a car, she later saved my life twice from being hit by a car. I've had many sweet and terrific days, but she was a bodhisattva. Take care and be well, Marcia. Isn't that nice, huh? All right, there are other parts of her letter I'd share with you, but they just, they hit a little too close to home, so we'll just share those ones with you. All right, one other story I want to get to, and then we're going to get to a call here, because I think this is going to, watch how this magically happens. I have no idea why Dale is calling, because we don't screen people that way here. We get your name, and we get your town, and that's all we ask you. Unlike some places where you gotta tell basically everything you're going to talk about. We don't do that here. I talk with you just live and unrehearsed and all that kind of thing. All right, anyway, there was a story in the New York Times today talking about the worst voter turnout in 72 years in this country. God, we are really in trouble here. Here's how bad it was. 43 states, less than half of the eligible population bothered to vote. No state cracked 60%. And I know those are numbers, Mark. That's nothing new. That's not terribly familiar. Listen to this number. In the three largest states, California, Texas, and New York, less than a third of the eligible population voted. New York's turnout was 28.8%. God, I mean, has it really gotten that bad? I mean, less than 30% of the people, they had a governor's race. All right, granted, it wasn't the most exciting, but good grief. I mean, that is fourth lowest in the country. There are actually three places that were worse than that. Wow. Which I think is the kind of story that prompted our House Speaker last week to call for what many have called just an outrageous proposal to have mandatory compulsory voting. And if you don't vote in the state of Vermont, you get a fine. Let's go to Burlington. Dale, how you doing this morning?
Well, you're pretty close to why I was calling.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been trying to get through since the speaker was on last week and made his comments. And I actually emailed the speaker, and he got back to me.
What did he say?
Basically, he felt, and I don't have the email in front of me, but he felt his comments were off, you know, spur of the moment, off the cuff, and born out of the frustration of the low voter turnout, which I think that was a fair assessment of it, but I still think he went a little bit too far with the fining people for not voting and that type thing. I just don't think that's the way that we need to go.
So did you sort of feel him kind of reeling this one back in the boat?
I wouldn't be surprised that he was a little leery about what he had said in the long run, but he certainly attempted to clarify it for me, so I give him credit for that. And but again, I think he just went a little bit too far with it, because I have no use for voter apathy at all. I just think everybody should be out there. I don't think it needs to go as far as what Senator Sanders, in his frustration, said, that we need to make it a national holiday, because, let's face it, we make something a national holiday, we'll probably lower the voter turnout, because everybody will be out
shopping.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
In fact, I actually read that somewhere where, oh yeah, just what we need, another shopping holiday.
Right.
So
red, blue, purple, stop on down.
Yeah, exactly. But one of the other things I wanted to bring up was about bringing it to the legislature and the recount. Personally, in Burlington, I think we've had enough issues where it wasn't even close. Shumlin hooked Milne pretty good in Burlington by almost 3-1, I think. It was like 6,000 to 2,000, something like that.
Yep.
But I don't think anything in Burlington would affect the results. But really looking at it, we had enough mistakes in the primaries and in the early ballots that were printed for this election that I think there is no waste of money confirming a vote, in my opinion. I don't look at somebody that calls for a recount as wasting my money. I look at it as them protecting my money.
Well, there's a pretty good swing from, what, Election Day and those preliminary tallies to the one now, from 2,000 to 2,400. You know, my math, that's what? That's about a 20% difference.
Yep. So, personally, I would prefer that he ask for the recount, because I don't want to hear somebody say in 2 months, well, we just found 2,000 absentee ballots get counted.
That would be very unlikely.
That would be very unlikely, but hey, we found 87 in Burlington that went to the wrong voting district 2 weeks before the vote.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was sort of a different type of problem, though.
Yeah, it was, but so I would have no problem with an asking for a recount. Leave it at that.
What about taking it to the legislature?
Bring it to the legislature. I would just try, and I haven't seen anybody that's done the math, but I think, if I remember correctly, Milne won 15 of the counties, and Shumlin won 9.
Let me actually, I'm going to interrupt you here, and thank you for your call, but the way it worked out is the districts, if you took Senate districts, it would be 15 senators, 15 senators, and it was 9 and 4 was the number in the counties. Because, Dale, I know you know we only have 14. Quick break. We'll be back right after this.
Do you have super sensory skills? Are you a flavor enthusiast? If so, the Keurig Green Mountain Sensory Test Center wants to hear from you. We are looking for consumer panelists to test a variety of food and beverage products from Green Mountain Coffee and other brands. This would be a periodic and ongoing opportunity at our test facility in Waterbury Center. No experience necessary. Plus, for every 30-minute session you attend, we'll give you an Amazon gift card just for giving us your opinions. How sweet is that? Want to learn more? Give us a shout at 802-882-2703.
For the latest weather forecast, call the WDEV weather phone, 800-585-1211 or 244-1172. The WDEV weather phone, sponsored by Twin City Subaru on the Berlin Mall Road. Stop in today and let one of the gurus introduce you to Vermont's unofficial state car.
Hey, a reminder, our friends at Green Mountain Access would love to get your business internet service wide. Give them a call today at 1-888-321-0815. 1-888-321-0815. And you'll find them on the web, gmavt.net. If you ever want to send me emails, you're welcome to do so. Mark, M-A-R-K, at gmavt.net. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk about what's the latest on the Vermont Health Connect website. Lawrence Miller joins us to kick off the program. Hope you can join us for that. This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, broadcasting from the top of Sugarbush. FM 96.5 in Barrie and Montpelier, 101.9 in the Kingdom, AM 550 WDEV, Waterbury, Montpelier. News is next.
AP Radio News. I'm Tim McGuire. President Obama has reached an agreement that calls for even steeper cuts in U.S. greenhouse gas emissions, while China promises to stop increasing its emissions by 2030. U.S. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says the deal sets an example for other countries.
I urge all countries, especially all major economies, to follow China and the United States' lead.